From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text comes from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. It is ever the Holy Spirit's work to turn our eyes away from self to Jesus. But Satan's work is just the opposite of this, for he is constantly trying to make us regard ourselves instead of Christ. He insinuates, "Your sins are too great for pardon. You have no faith. You do not repent enough. You will never be able to continue to the end. You have not the joy of his children. You have such a wavering hold of Jesus." All these are thoughts about self, and we shall never find comfort or assurance by looking within. But the Holy Spirit turns our eyes entirely away from self. He tells us that we are nothing, but that Christ is all in all. Remember, therefore, it is not thy hold of Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not thy joy in Christ that saves thee. It is Christ. It is not even faith in Christ, though that be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merits. Therefore, look not so much to thy hand with which thou art grasping Christ, as to Christ. Look not to thy hope, but to Jesus, the source of thy hope. Look not to thy faith, but to Jesus, the author and finisher of thy faith. We shall never find happiness by looking at our prayers, our doings, or our feelings. It is what Jesus is, not what we are, that gives rest to the soul. If we would at once overcome Satan and have peace with God, it must be by looking unto Jesus. Keep thine eyes simply on him. Let his death, his sufferings, his merits, his glories, his intercession be fresh upon thy mind. When thou wakest in the morning, look to him. When thou liest down at night, look to him. Oh, let not thy hopes or fears come between thee and Jesus. Follow hard after him, and he will never fail thee. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
And
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folks who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak International, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a pre-Presbyterian church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number, 866-877-5827. That's 866-877-5827. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, to see if there's a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his study in the Epistle to the Colossians as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Reconciliation with God, Personal, Perfect, and Permanent. The text is Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We've seen in this passage, first of all, the need for sinners to be reconciled to God. In his natural, unsaved state, man is actively opposed to God. It's a bleak picture. But next we'll see the dramatic intervention of divine grace. In the sending of his only begotten Son, God has provided the way for reconciliation. By his death on the cross, Christ has made his people as near and dear to God as he himself is. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
You're either for Christ or you're against him. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You're either his friend or his enemy. You're either laboring in and for his kingdom or you're laboring outside and against his kingdom. An enemy of God, alienated in your mind by wicked works. Make sure today that you're not taking the very benefits and blessings with which God has crowned your being and using them as instruments of sin and weapons of rebellion against the very God who has created you and blessed you. That was certainly the state of every one of us who see it. We can look back to a time and remember when God convicted us of our sin, brought it home to our conscience. You're an enemy of God. You're a stranger to God. You're a hater of God, and you need to be saved. Thank God for the formerly.
We'll come to see the change in that former state in just a minute. And Paul tells us how this alienation and enmity came about and how it's maintained. He says it's in your mind by wicked works. Now, that's a very important turn of phrase. The mind, of course, would remind us of the understanding. It is the deliberative faculty of man. It is very closely related to the will. What Paul is saying here is that men by nature, enemies of God, their reason rejects the revelation of God and grace in Christ. It rejects what God has to say about himself. This is where it starts. Sin starts with the rejection of what God says about himself. Men want to create God in their own image. They can live comfortably with a God who's in their own image. They do not want the God who tells them what he is. Then sin proceeds to reject what God says about men. We're not as bad as the Bible paints us. We're not in the dire straits that the Bible describes. So rejecting what the Bible says about God, it proceeds to reject what the Bible says about men. This rebellious spirit in the reason of man rejects then what God says about salvation. Even when it would pay lip service to the beauty of the person of Christ, it yet rejects God's way of salvation in Christ. It will either take from it or add to it or substitute for it. But in one way or another, human reason, in rebellion against God, rejects the divine revelation. And then, of course, the human will chooses accordingly, as it is instructed by the intelligence or the understanding. The will then chooses, and it chooses wrongly. This is what Paul is saying. Your enemies in your mind. Men are what they want to be, and they therefore do what they want to do. And so their depraved will expresses itself by wicked works. Evil works are the natural fruit of a will and a mind set against God. Now, this is the state that you and I were in formerly. But this is the whole point of the text. Thank God that's no longer true. Paul has a statement here that is a sort of a hinge for the whole text. But now, it is a little unfortunate that the word is at the bottom line of verse 21, and it's yet now. It's simply, but now. And what Paul is saying here is, having dealt with our past enmity, he now comes to deal with our present amity or friendship with God. He says, but now he reconciled you. This is what you were, but now he reconciled you. Underline the words, but now. In the scriptures, this phrase always denotes a striking contrast. And in the New Testament particularly, it often sets before us a crisis or a dramatic intervention of grace. Let me give you a couple of examples. Romans 3:21. You remember when we were doing the studies in Romans, I said this was the focal point of the entire argument. Romans 3:19 says all the world had become guilty before God. Romans 3:20 says that we're condemned by the law. There's no justification by the law. But now, Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without or apart from the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Romans 6:22, but now. What does that refer to? Well, you read the context before it. It says you were slaves of sin, and the end of that sin was death. But now, being made free from sin and become slaves or servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. There's another interesting one in Romans 7. In verse 6, the prior context says that you were under the dominion of the law, just as a woman is married to a husband and she's married to him as long as he lives. And so you were under the dominion of the law. You were bound to the law. And that brought forth fruit unto death. Verse 6 of Romans 7, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, or we being dead to that wherein we were held. Ephesians 2:13 gives you another example of how Paul uses this phrase. He has already said in the context that you are aliens from God, you're without Christ, you have no hope, you're without God in the world, that's your state by nature, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I suppose nothing sums it up more clearly than Ephesians 5 verse 8. You were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So this little phrase, but now, is one of Paul's favorites. It is a phrase, as I say, that speaks of a crisis. It speaks very often of this dramatic intervention of divine grace. And it certainly, in the text, speaks of a complete reversal of the prior state. Notice what he says, but now he reconciled you. It's not just a cessation of hostilities here. It's much more than that. He says, now he has reconciled you. You were alienated, but now he reconciled you. You were enemies in your mind by wicked works, but now he reconciled you. In other words, he has instituted a state of the closest possible friendship and fellowship with God. That's what he's saying to God's people. Now, this is a study that's far too big for me to do more than outline this morning. First of all, he's saying the estrangement is gone. The alienation is gone, and it's replaced by nearness. We have read Ephesians chapter 2, where he says, you are made nigh, verse 13. You're made nigh. You're brought near to God. Ephesians 3, verse 12 says that in Christ we have boldness and access with confidence, with assurance, boldness and access, nearness to God. We have often quoted Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And every time I quote that, I take the opportunity to give you John Brown of Edinburgh and how he interpreted that. And I think he's right. We take it to say, we have boldness to enter into the holiest. I don't really think that's what Paul is saying. That comes later when he says, let us draw near. What he's saying is, and the Greek text is very simple here, he says, it simply says, we have confidence regarding the entrance into the holiest. Now let that be our confession this morning. We have confidence regarding the entrance into the holiest. Now ask yourself again the question I have so often asked when I quote this passage. What entrance into the holiest is this entire book of Hebrews all about? It's all about Christ's entrance into the holiest. And Paul is saying now, and this is chapter 10, remember, chapter 9 has been dealing specifically and at large with Christ's entrance into the holiest upon his resurrection and his ascension. He has entered in with his own precious blood. Now Paul says, we have confidence regarding that entrance into the holiest. Let us draw near in full assurance of faith. We can enter in. Why? Because Christ has entered in. I put it this way. We are near
as near as he is. Do you remember the old hymn? Near to the heart of God, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of his Son I am as near as he. If Christ and his people are one, as the head and the body are one, it is impossible but that the believer enjoys the same nearness to Christ, to God, as Christ himself, and on the same ground and merit and basis. The estrangement is gone. Christ has bridged the gulf, and he has made us nigh to God, near to God, dear to God, as Christ himself is. The hostility is gone, and it has been replaced by peace. We were reading this morning in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's a pity that preachers very often simply jump immediately to the subjective state of mind that we term peace. The peace of God, the gift of peace, that we live with tranquility of heart. It's a good thing to have that peace, and that certainly is the result, ultimately, of what we're talking about. But there's many a person who's living in tranquility who does not have peace with God. This is more than living in tranquility. This is the removal of all hostility, the enmity removed, so that now we stand at peace with God. The peace of justification.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.